This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Just as Joe filled you in about Rory McIlroy's attempt to make the cut and needing a birdie on 18, he was right in the fairway, had a reasonable shot at a reasonable distance to try to get himself lined up for a potential birdie putt and golf this weekend. He missed the green by very little, and the penalty was pretty severe. He missed the green left by, I don't know, a foot or two maybe? I don't know. And then the ball went just rolling down some gullies and just got... It would be a miraculous chip shot if he were to drain it from where he ended up there. So despite the roars of the crowd as he tried to get himself back into, I wouldn't, obviously not contention, but just get himself back to where he could play the weekend at least, it looks like that might have been fruitless, as it turns out. Good afternoon. Good to have you with us. I am the Bulldog. Mike has the day off today. It's just me and Sneaky Joe and, like, I don't know, I think Kyle is coming at some point to handle updates. We'll be hanging with you for the next 4 hours. We got Joe Marino from the Draft Network coming up at 4, Sal Capaccio at 5. He's got a couple of more pieces on the Bills up at WGR550.com. We're hoping at some point to touch base with Brian Colziel, but he's traveling. We've got him set up, but he's worried about cell coverage. So we'll see how that goes. But hopefully we'll get Brian on later in the show today to put the wraps on round two of the British Open. As I mentioned, Rory looks like he's gonna miss the cut. It has the weather's taken a turn. Not to lead the show talking about the weather, but like it got all kinds of stupid just as our show was starting.
It got dark
real quick, and now it's pouring and the trees are bending. It's pretty harsh outside. There's been a severe thunderstorm watch warning in effect for most of the counties in the area, and I assume that's what we are. So look, well, a lot of football today, as I mentioned, with Joe Marino and Sal, and I'm going to get to something Sal has posted at WGR550.com here in very short order. And by that, I mean, just in a few minutes. But I'll just mention one thing that might end up coming up on the air. We'll see. I've already gotten a lot of feedback on Twitter about it. And it's something I was thinking about with the golf being going on here, with the last major of the year going on. You know, we've all probably had, if you've played any amount of golf, you have probably had at least a fleeting moment or more where you thought, like, wow, I'm getting good at this. If I try a little harder, if I go to the range, maybe if I take a couple of lessons, like whatever, right? You hit a good shot, you hit maybe three good shots in a row, so you have a good hole. Maybe you even put a run together where you go like birdie, par, par or something. I'm a horrible golfer. I've definitely done that in my life as a golfer. I'm sure I've had birdie par somewhere in my not often, because the birdies would be pretty hard to come by, but I'm sure it's happened. And you know, I was realistic enough when it happened to think like I'm never. I think there might have been a point in my late 20s where I thought I'm gonna do this. I got some clubs made for me that were longer, and I remember at one point a pro at one of the country clubs, I think it was even Jeff Metis who does the Tee to Green with Brian on Saturday mornings, did some video analysis for me and some things to work on, and it was all very. My wife bought me a really nice driver for my birthday one year. Now the thing is, it's not quite one of those wooden ones anymore, but it's been passed numerous times by the newer stuff. Like this is, I'm going back to like, I don't know, the very early 2000s with this TaylorMade 360 driver I've got. There's been probably 10 iterations of TaylorMade drivers or more since then that have passed it, technologically speaking. But that's still like my newest, most advanced piece of golf equipment. So anyway, like you have these moments golfing where you get excited about your game and your potential. And so I asked on Twitter, not specifically about golf, but that was the motivation for the question. That was why it was on my mind at all. I asked a little while ago, in your athletic prime, assuming you had an athletic prime, what sport / position in a sport did you think you could credibly play at the highest level? I didn't fit that in. It was only, you know, the characters are limited. But like, I used to say here, like, what sport do you think you could play and like, get away with it? In other words, you'd be on the field with professionals and you're among them and there's 30,000 people in the stands and people watching on TV because it's just like a regular sporting event, right? And everyone doesn't immediately identify you as some contest winner. Like you are there and you're not an immediate curiosity. You're just sort of, all right, I'm here. I can do this. All right, let's go. We're playing soccer? Okay. Yeah, I would think maybe some people would think they could just blend in soccer, but you know, there's a fatigue factor that I think would probably, and then if the ball comes to you, it would be real trouble. I used to say, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, maybe not 15, because Mike, we've only been together 15, 16 years now. So at some point early in our relationship working together, Mike and I, we had this conversation, and I asserted, I think pretty strongly, that I thought I could get away with playing first base in the majors. That you could put me out there. Don't ask me to bat. I mean, forget it. But like defensively, get me around the bag. This is not in my current state of health because I can't. I might fall down today. My back's killing me. My legs. I'm a wreck. But you know, 15 years ago. Yeah, all right. Throw me out at first base. I think, you know.
Put you and Frank Thomas next to each other 20 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
I think it would be comparable.
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Were the mitt on you? Absolutely.
Sure, right. You know, I wasn't this fat. I wasn't ripped like the Big Hurt, but whatever. I'm gonna stand over here at first base, and the ball's going to get hit the shortstop, and I'm going to turn and I'm going to run over to first base. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to wait for the throw. And I'm going to, okay, I'm all right. I'm not going to make the great play on the screaming liner, okay? Foul ball down the line. Like, I'm going to run after it. I'm probably not going to get there. Like, there are things, there would be clues that I don't belong there. But, like, most innings in Major League Baseball, like an average inning, you're going to play it first on a throw from third. Okay. Like, I think I could. I used to say that I think I could have pulled that off. I think I was delusional now looking back on it to have thought that, because I've never even like played catch with someone who throws at a major league level. And I'm thinking, I was talking to Joe when I got here today. I asked this, you know, I brought it up to him. And I said, have you ever played catch with someone? Like Kyle played some pretty high level ball. I wonder how much harder the throws are. Like, how much? Like, if I'm saying that I could have done this, but the reason I think I'm probably delusional is that I would be slower than a professional athlete getting to first. From where, if I were standing in my, you know, the regular defensive alignment, like not cheating, not standing on the bag because I don't want to run, but I'm playing first, like you would play first, right? So I'm, whatever. How many feet off the bag? 15 feet away from the bag, say, right? And the ball's hit to short. It's sharply hit. I got to get over to the bag, and I got to get ready for the throw. And I think that throw, now I think that throw would terrify me. I think that throw would be on me so fast it would probably hit me in the face. Like, I just wouldn't, because I think the velocity that someone who's a professional shortstop would be throwing the ball to me with, I would be completely unprepared for it.
There's standouts out there that hit like 94, like Fernando Tatis for the Padres, but I think on average you're talking 80 to...
I've never caught an 80 mile an hour ball. I'm sure of it. Like, nobody I've ever played catch with threw the ball 80 miles an hour at me. There's just no way that's ever happened. Probably 60 not even 60. Probably 50 is the fastest anyone's ever thrown a baseball at me. So 80 miles an hour from shortstop, that ball is on you, in a hurry, right?
It's quick.
So I think I was full of it when I thought that. It was fun to think about. I thought that that was maybe, you know, a good answer back then. I think even thinking about the best shape I've ever been in my life, I think I still probably die over there. I think as soon as I try to turn and go to the bag, everyone in the crowd goes, "Who's the bag of crap that's playing first tonight? Who is this guy?" Like, I think it would blow up right away. So we may have time to explore this more as we go. I just wanted to mention it because there's been a lot of really good feedback on Twitter when I posed the question. So I'm not going to run through it all now. I want to start with the Bills, and we'll get to it here. But I wanted to mention that because I think it's a fun thing to just sort of think about. You know, we all probably have had some moment where we thought about it. I've only thought about it to the extent that I've just told you about this first base thing. When I was a kid, I never thought, like, oh, if I work really hard, I was just never that good. You know, I played hockey. I was terrible. Like, I was like the last guy chosen for the travel team. Like, every year that I played hockey, and even got cut one year after making the travel team and then showing up for practices in the fall, and the coach went, I made a mistake. you gotta go. Like, there was never any illusion about what I was gonna be as a hockey player for me. It was over pretty early. By the time I was like in Pee Wee's, I was like, yeah, okay, this is fun. I'm all right. I'm on a good team. I'm not that good. So I never had any dreams like that. But thinking, where could you just sort of blend in and get away with it? You know, like if you were to have the opportunity, first base was my best idea. And I think now, looking back over the years, was a terrible idea. So anyway, we'll probably fit that in the back half of the show today, or sooner. I don't know, whatever. Maybe after Joe Marino, we'll play it by ear. Bill stuff. Sales got two pieces up at WGR550.com today. And the one on the running backs is the one that I'm really interested in. He also wrote about the draft night trade idea. He got some comments from Brandon Bean about just how realistic or unrealistic the Bills moving up with the Jets was. And, you know, not surprisingly here, all these months later, Bean sort of says, like, yeah, well, you know, we talked, but it wasn't really ever that serious, and it got overblown and whatever. And I'm not inclined to try to poke holes in that. It's kind of what I thought all along as draft night was unfolding, but I didn't know it. It was just sort of a place to stand while Mike was losing his mind thinking that the Bills might move up from 9-3. But the running back piece, I think, is interesting. And we have spent a lot of time on the running back position on this show. I don't know, a lot of time. It's not like we've done entire shows on it, but it comes up frequently. Just in the course of conversation between Mike and myself and Sneaky Joe, the numbers they've got, who they've got, the reputations of who they've got, the contracts. Even T.J. Yeldon signed a 2-year contract. Like, that's interesting. That would lead you to think that he's not some spare part, really, here. And, of course, Frank Gore is going to the Hall of Fame. LeSean McCoy seemed like he was going to the Hall of Fame, and then last year happened, so I'm not sure if that's still on track or not. But they've got, you know, they've got money, they've got pedigree, they've got reputation, if those aren't the same thing. And then they've got, you know, contractual obligation and unknown kid, like Singletary. And so I have thought all along that from what happened first? Did Yeldon get signed and then they drafted Singletary, or did they?
Yes. That's right,
yep. Okay. So Yeldon, they signed Gore right away. Like, oh wow, that's interesting. Give me all the 30-year-old running backs. Like, that was the first takeaway when they signed Frank Gore to replace Chris Ivory. Like, wow, okay. But, you know, Gore, there are things to like about Gore. He was reasonably productive last year for a running back his age, or for any running back, period. Like, he had a decent year last year. So there's that. He's got an impeccable reputation as just a dude on the team, like just one of these guys that you know Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are going to gravitate towards. So you've got that going for you with Gore. So he's here. You got Yeldon added in, and then they drafted Devin Singletary in the third round, and It has looked to me like something is probably going to have to give there, unless you're going to end up with someone inactive on game day. That, I mean, really, Singletary's probably the odds-on choice for that, if not Yeldon. I'm assuming all four guys make the team, but maybe they don't. Here's Bean. I don't have audio of this. This is Sal just talking to Brandon Bean here in the weeks since in the months since the draft and free agency and in the run up to training camp. But I think, like, look, I've wondered all along here if McCoy is the odd man out at some point here, just because of how last year went and his age, and despite the fact that they don't need the cap room, it's still a lot of money to pay someone who might not be your best running back anymore. And, like, I'm open to the possibility that he's not your best running back anymore. I would tell you I'm rooting for Devin Singletary to be their best running back, just because I think that would be really interesting and exciting. And it happens all the time that running backs as rookies show up, whether they're drafted in the first round or they're off the street or anywhere in between. And Singletary obviously is in between, being a third round pick. They show up and they just are ready to play. It's a position that is very much a plug and play. So ever since they've done all that, I've thought, like, is McCoy on the way out? And the Bills have never really sounded like that. I mean, I wouldn't expect them to. I would expect them to publicly support LeSean McCoy until the minute they decide that they have a better idea on how to spend $7 or $8 or $9 million at running back. And then they would say, well, you know, we had to do what's best for the team or whatever, or give him the best opportunity. He deserves that. And, like, all that sort of stuff that you'd hear if they were to make a move on him. Here's what I'm getting to. Bean is quoted in this piece at WGR550.com from our Sal Capaccio as, the way it reads to me, I mean, I'll get you the entire, all the quotes, here. So you don't have to worry about me taking anything out of context here, but the way this is presented here is very much, to me, it's presented, it reads as, we have a competition going on. I don't know who's going to be on the team. It's sort of that's how Brandon Bean sounds to me. Here's the first quote. Bean is asked if he's concerned that McCoy is being more towards the end than the beginning of his career. Here's the Bean quote. I'm not concerned. I think LeSean can still play. If not, we would have made the decision to move on. I think he's embraced the competition this spring. Guys handle competition in different ways. I don't think he shied away from it. I don't think that's his nature. He's very confident. And when you talk to him, he still sees himself up here, raising his hand to show a high level, and I don't think you're changing that, and I wouldn't want to have him thinking any different. But we're focused on this year, and we have him under contract for this year, and I definitely think he's got enough left in the tank to help us in 2019. The word competition, I think, is really interesting there, because that's different than LeSean McCoy is our number one running back. LeSean McCoy is our guy. Competition is competition. Competition reads to me like it's possible that they find a better idea to be the number one running back on this team. And I like that. I mean, I know we're at the time of the year where, you hear coaches talk about there's competition is good. There are no jobs that are safe. There are no sacred cows. We think every day we got to go out there and prove our worth. And a lot of that is lip service. And, I think underneath it all who your starters are. I think running back presents itself as an opportunity for this to actually be genuine, to be true. Furthermore, Bean is asked about finding the right balance of reps and not overworking McCoy and Gore in the preseason. Here's another quote from Bean. I think with those guys, this is the thing I've already figured out about Frank. Frank wants the ball all the time. That's what makes him so good. So we're going to have to protect Frank from Frank. It was already one day in spring ball, and he was like, I want more carries. I've been hurt. I want to show what I can do. And we were like, relax. But again, that's what makes him so good. And LeSean's a competitor. He sees Frank pushing and then a young guy and then TJ's playing meaningful snaps. So it'll be on McDermott and Kelly Skipper, that's the running back's coach, Brian Daboll, to mix that up. But I think we'll definitely know. We'll do enough, even inside run drills, 9-on-7 stuff in pads, to see who's hitting and reading the holes. Who's hitting it? Who does it look like the line's trusting? And I think it's good to be in a good competition. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but I think we're in a good spot. I don't know. I might be guilty of, I'll just admit, I told you where I'm coming from to begin with. I think since they drafted Singletary, I'm not someone who wants him inactive on game day. I think a third-round running back should get an opportunity to contribute, and I want the Bills to be open to that. And they have Frank Gore, and they have TJ Yeldon, and they have LeSean McCoy. I think if there is any chance that Singletary, two things, if Singletary can perform and demonstrate that he deserves a role and maybe even a significant one, and there is any kind of a market for LeSean McCoy, I still think that that's a move that happens at some point in August. And Bean's comments here to Sal, and you can go read them for yourself. I read them word for word. Bean's comments to Sal here about their depth chart at running back absolutely push me further in that direction. Because to my eyes and ears, unless I've missed something this spring and summer, this is really the first time I've heard Brandon Bean talk about a competition there. And Gore and Yeldon and Singletary, everyone pushing. And I think I'm encouraged because I read all this like they are open to not being beholden to McCoy just because he's LeSean McCoy. And I think it's possible that there is a better running back on this team than him at this point with the way last year went. Chris Ivory was better than him last year on this team. I know the line was bad, but I think Ivory looked better running the ball last year for the Bills than LeSean McCoy did. That happened. So, and that's the same, it's the same personnel, same line. They're different style runners, but nonetheless. So, that happened, and now I've got a third-round rookie, and I've got Frank Gore, and I've got TJ Yeldon. Not to mention, depth guys, Marcus Murphy, and there's the rugby guy, Wade. I don't know. I'm reading what Bean had to say about running backs, and it nudges me further toward they're open to doing something if the opportunity presents itself. What I'd like to know from Bills fans is really what you think of all that. Like, do you want LeSean McCoy to be the guy on the Bills? Do you think that last year wasn't his fault, that it was more the line and you had a rookie quarterback and like no real passing game threat? So, of course, the running game struggled. And with a new line, like maybe it'll all work again. Like, our fans lining up to sort of count on LeSean McCoy. He's been a big star in the league and has been a very good player for the Bills. Most, you know, the previous seasons, he was quite good for the Bills. Last year, it sort of fell off a cliff. Where are you at on him? Do you want them to make a move on him? Do you want him to get 20 carries a game? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll get into that with you, you know, if you're so inclined. LeSean McCoy and what you want 2019 to look like for him, if you want him here at all, for that matter. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. There'll be some other conversations to be had around the Bills. Greg Cosell, who's excellent at breaking down tape, did a lot of work on Josh Allen, and he was on with Murph, and Tyler Dunn was co-hosting that the last couple of days. And so we've got some clips of that that I'm going to want to spin off of as well as we go. But starting with McCoy, where fans are at on the Bills running back. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Joe Marino at 4, Sal Capaccio at 5, Brian Koziel probably around 5:45 or so, weather and cell service permitting on the British Open, and lots in between. I'm the Bulldog. This is
hiring for your small business. If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WGR.
The guy that I'm most excited about is Devin Singletary. I mean, you watch his tape and you watch his film. I didn't watch him a lot when he was in college, but then going through the draft process, I really liked him. I thought that he was going to be a good asset for whatever team got him. And I make this point in our State of the Franchise series that this will be one of those things, one of these storylines where we look back on his career and we'll be like, oh my gosh, I forgot that when he started, there were all these veteran guys ahead of him, but he ended up emerging and being the superstar.
Wow. That is Adam Rank was on with One Bills Live yesterday talking about Devin Singletary. He ended with superstar there?
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, some folks are pretty high on the kid. I assume the Bills were really high on the guy, which is why they drafted him in the third round, which is a part of the reason why I'm going to be pushing for him to see some action. And I think it's the thing this summer. I know, like, Josh Allen's development and all that. We're not really going to get any answers, I don't think, watching football in the summer. I think Allen, once the games start in September, I think we'll start getting an idea of where he is, where he might be going, and just what sort of progress we should expect to see from year one to year two. I think in the summer, in preseason games, I think running back, there's an opportunity there for Singletary to demonstrate that he deserves a look. And I think that'll get really interesting pretty fast if he looks promising, because they're crowded, and I don't think they really need all the guys they have. Bean does make a point within this piece I'm referencing here from Sal at WGR550.com about, you know, sure, it looks like we have too many guys right now, but it's running back. And I think this is right. Like, you get into start practicing and there's a hamstring here and an ankle there and a whatever there. And, you know, the herd can get thinned out pretty fast. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe the whole thing will just work itself out due to injury or something. But if those four, the big four at running back, are relatively healthy through the summer and into September, I don't think all four get uniforms on game day. And I think something's going to have to give there. And maybe they'll just have an inactive guy. Maybe they'll take turns, although I kind of doubt that. I don't think Frank Gore or LeSean McCoy are guys who make inactive. Maybe it's Yeldon or Singletary. But that gets me back to, I drafted a guy in the third round, and he's not going to dress for games? Like, what am I doing here? Like, it's a running back. Get him on the field. So I think it bears watching. We've had an adjustment to our schedule. Sal Capaccio and Joe Marino are flipping spots. So Sal is about a little less than half an hour away, and then Joe Marino will be on with me in the 5 o'clock hour here. So we'll accommodate that. It's fine. I'm starting here today talking about Sal's piece at WGR550.com anyway, so that almost works better for me anyway. So anyway, Sal coming up at the top of this hour, and then Joe Marino a little bit later. Joe, your thoughts on this as I lay this out. I'm admitting that I'm coming from a place where I'm already sort of predisposed to being on watch for this. Like, I think it just makes sense that a move could be made there with the quality of player, the reputation of player, and what they've got there in the backfield. What do you think of what I'm laying out here?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same path. Like, I've looked at it when they first signed all these guys, looking at it at the special teams point of view of it, is that you've had backs. We know they like the versatility factor, and you usually have a running back or two that play special teams. Last year, when I was looking at their snap counts a few weeks ago, and I brought it back up, DeMarco played a lot of special teams, but they had two running backs that played a lot, which was Tywan Jones and Marcus Murphy. And it's not even just talking about someone being inactive on game days of those four running backs. If those four, Yeldon, Singletary, Gore, McCoy, none of which have ever played special teams.
Right.
At least in the NFL, those three never have, and Singletary didn't do it in college. So unless somebody's going to do something there that they never have before, and you still want a running back that's going to be playing special teams, we're talking about having four running backs active, but one of them's going to be a Marcus Murphy or the guy who's wearing 32, Snorris Perry.
Yeah.
And that's going to be take away a spot as well.
Or the rugby guy.
So, to me, if you're going to hold that spot, plus we already have a crowded backfield figuring out touches and roles there, like, it never made sense to me that all four of those guys were going to make the team. And when you look at it, Singletary was always the safest to be here. Third-round pick. You just signed Gore. You just signed Yeldon. It always, like, Yeldon, the comments Bean makes today on, he's not concerned that McCoy can still play. Well, I think they definitely think he can still play, but their actions to me say that they don't still believe that he is still a number one running back, or they're at least worried.
They're prepared.
That he's no longer.
Yeah,
right,
they want to be prepared in case that doesn't happen.
Sure, because right. That's what their actions would say. They if you were set and you were truly sold that not only he could be on this team, but that he was still your feature guy, then you don't bring in Frank Gore, TJ Yeldon, and Devin Singletary. You probably do what you did the last couple years. You bring in one guy who has a bit of a reputation, and then you can just kind of pair him with McCoy.
Yeah, or maybe even do two of the three.
Sure.
Because I think you make a good point. If you were to have four running backs, one of them, even if you move on from McCoy, maybe you still have the four, but one of them is a special teams guy, and that's Murphy or Perry, like you say, or even the rugby guy, who's, you know, really, I think, a real long shot, but whatever. Right. I like saying the rugby guy. I just can't really see it. I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's possible McCoy has a bounce back. I mean, I don't know that he has to be finished, but he really struggled last year. And I saw you nodding. Like, it's right that Ivory was better.
Yeah. I don't think he was a lot better.
No,
but, I mean, his yards per carry was, like, a tad higher. And I just remember watching games last year, seeing Ivory hit holes. I'm like, well, McCoy with this line, like, he's probably dancing around. He's probably not getting that same type of yardage.
Right.
So I don't know if it was just a stylistic
thing.
Could
have been that.
It
sure.
Could have also been that. Like, McCoy could have hit the wall last year, and it might have been a coincidence that he also had
right.
the offensive line excuse there sitting for him, waiting for him.
Yeah, I'll be real interested to see how that all unfolds. Like, that is, you know, it, like I already said here, this segment, as much as we're going to be monitoring Josh Allen and his progress, I think the numbers at running back really are something that bear watching. And like Singletary is like, he's an interesting cat too, because he's not. Like they said when they drafted him, like, well, he doesn't have the great breakaway speed, so he's not like a home run hitter necessarily. But his ability lies in making people miss in small spaces. And that reads a little bit like McCoy to me. Like McCoy's yeah. got that ability. Like he's a guy that makes you miss, is what he is. And if Singletary has some combination of make you miss, but also hitting it up in there the way I think Gore will and the way that Ivory did last year, maybe that's where they want to be at running back.
Right. The other thing, too, like as someone that plays fantasy so much, like when you look around the different backfields, and the one thing you always very clearly see around the league is a lot of teams that even have these committee approaches is they have guys that fill different roles. They have guys that you would look at them and say, okay, that's the first and second down guy. He's not much of a pass catcher. Mm-hmm. And then this is the guy who's the pass catcher. Like, that's pretty clear in a lot of places. And here, like, I feel like there are three of the four running backs in an ideal scenario because of what McCoy is at this point, what Gore has always been, and what Singletary was in college. I feel like you got three guys that you would want as, like, your first and second down backs. And then in obvious passing situations, you kind of only have one guy that fills that role, and it's probably, sitting here today, it's hard to say this, but maybe the fourth guy on that depth chart, which is Yeldon.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's not going anywhere because he's the only guy that really clearly fills like a pass-catching running back role, and then you've got three guys to do the other thing, well, which one of those three is going to give? I'm very worried because I don't want this to happen at all. I know you said you don't want this to happen at all. I don't want to see Singletary inactive on game days.
No.
But I think it might be trending that's not a likely scenario, but something that could happen.
Yeah, if they don't do anything at the position, if those four guys all make the 53, then, yeah, I think that's probably where you will end up, especially if they keep – well, I don't know. They're not going to keep another guy for special teams, I don't think. If they keep those four
– keep five?
Yeah. That
might be it. You might keep five, dress four on game days, and one is
special teams.
If you do that, though, because
– oh, that's just crazy.
You're talking about five running backs on the roster. If you're keeping DeMarco, that's six backs.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Number-wise, that's almost insane.
I think DeMarco's in trouble even if they only keep four. Like Lee Smith might be DeMarco.
Right.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, that might be just very entry-level analysis to just equate Lee Smith to, because you know, he's such a potent blocker,
right,
to taking that role. But I think with the numbers they've got at running back and the roles that they should fill, I don't know that I've got room for a fullback. I mean, I just don't. It's going to be something to watch, man. I think it's really, really interesting. I would like to bet that McCoy is not here in September. I would bet on it. I would want odds. I mean, I don't think it's the leader in the clubhouse, but it smelled that way the whole time to me. I don't put any stock in anything they say about what they think about guys, because that's just how the world works, man. Yeah, no, we love them. We great. No, we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to it. Well, you know, it's tough business. that's how football. That's how pro sports work. So, yeah, I think I would, I don't know, like 4-1 odds. I don't know. I would want odds, but I would want to bet that McCoy is not here. Maybe that's just wishful thinking. Like, I don't have it in for him or anything. I'm not like mad at him. I just think it makes sense if you draft a running back in the third round that he should play.
The tough part about that, though, is if you're going to, are you going to cut him? Like, maybe you cut him. But the reason he always stuck out for me as the guy I'd like to see moved is he's the one of the four I think you could trade for and get something. Maybe if it's even a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you look around the league, most teams have it figured out at running back. So, I mean, maybe that's what they're waiting for. Maybe they're waiting for someone to get hurt in training camp.
But still,
camp
don't you think? Yeah, I know. I agree. I think he is the guy that I would – I don't think any of the other guys are tradable commodities at all. McCoy has been enough of a name that maybe you get something for him, but it's also just as likely to me that I don't know, 31 other teams at running back are going, yeah, I don't know, I got a guy that I drafted in the fifth round, and we're going to use him. You know, like, I'm not that worried about it. But you never know, a rash of injuries, maybe a certain team with a certain role in mind for McCoy would feel like that's they need the security of the veteran presence. Maybe they think they can resurrect him as a pass catcher in some ways. And maybe there is some value out there. But, yeah, that's absolutely why. I don't think he has to be the least talented or the least useful of the four guys. I think he's probably the guy, if any of them had any value, he'd be the one. And I don't know that it's even a given that he would. But if anyone does, it's him. Which is why I land on him mostly. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. All right, Sal Capaccio coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. Joe Marino at 5. Brian Colziel along the way, too. We'll get some calls in, too, on McCoy. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Obviously, people are going to look at my score yesterday and, you know, what I shot, and then going into today with the pressure off, you know, shooting whatever it is, 14 shots better. But that wasn't it. I didn't play my best yesterday. I maybe didn't allow myself to play my best. I mean, if I look back on this week, what I'm really going to rue is that finish yesterday, 5 over for the last three. You know, even make a couple bogeys in those last three, and all of a sudden I'm in here for the weekend after what I did today.
That's Rory McIlroy. Got a brutal first round. Was much better today, had a real look at it, but ended up missing the cut by one stroke at the British Open, the course that he set the course and still holds the course record at as a 16-year-old. Shot a 61 at this course that the Open is being played at this week in Northern Ireland. So Rory's out, Tiger and Phil. I read somewhere that they have played maybe – no, it's got to be more than that even. No, it's probably about that. 85 majors that Tiger and Phil have competed in together, and this was the first time that both of them have missed the cut in the same tournament. In other words, so 85 times they've competed in majors together, and never before today had both of them missed the cut in the same tournament. They've both missed cuts, of course, in majors over the years. But
and there's probably been tournaments like where maybe Tiger didn't play and Phil missed the cut. But
sure,
when they both played,
right? The first they time. Both competed in 80. I think the number was 85. I read it earlier today, and the first time that they both ended up missing out. So that's continuing. I don't think we're done for the day yet. I think the leaders are mostly done. If you're following our bet, I believe Justin Rose is the only guy that's really on the main leaderboard. He's two shots off the lead at minus six. I think the lead is minus eight, and Mike has Rose. I think anyone else that he has is no closer than that. So we'll see how that goes as we head towards the weekend. Let's squeeze a quick call in here before we get Sal Capaccio on at the top of the hour. Nick is on WGR. Thanks for calling, sir. You're on the radio.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call and tell you I couldn't agree with you more about, Singletary. I mean, we spent a lot of capital on him, third-round pick. You definitely can't have him inactive. You want to get him in there as much as we can. Thinking about what we're going to do with McCoy, the thing that makes most sense to me is look at a team like Tampa, who's desperate at running back, and they have O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. You know, Cameron Brate for McCoy, I don't know about heads up, but even if we had thrown a late round pick to get a guy like Brate, you know, a position we were really struggling at, just seems to make a lot of sense to me.
That would blow my mind. I'm thinking about McCoy for a day three pick is like I would take that. I would take a fourth or a fifth. If I could get that. I don't think I get a starting caliber tight end in any kind of a deal there for McCoy. I could be wrong, but because I don't know what their depth chart looks like at tight end, but I don't see a guy like that. How good of a player, fantasy speaking, is Brate?
He's pretty good. He gets a lot of touchdowns, but not a lot of a lot of yardage.
Okay.
He's got a contract too. I'm trying to look that up because I know he's got paid.
I just can't. I don't know.
He's in the second year of a six-year, $41 million contract. And, like, yeah, he's pretty good, but you're already paying Croft, I think, at least significant money.
Yeah.
So, it's not like that's a major upgrade. I don't think you need to be doing
it. I don't see it. I don't see Tampa wanting to do that.
Right.
You never know what motivates a team. If they've got bodies and they want to unload a contract, I mean, maybe, but I don't know. I already said it. I would take a day three pick if I could for McCoy at this point. Thanks for the call, though. Appreciate the thought. We'll take a timeout here. Sal Capaccio will review what I'm talking about. He's written here and the comments from Brandon Bean and more as we continue. Joe Marino at 5, Brian Koziel later, too. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schopp has the day off. This is WGR.